to Singapore now, where the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement negotiations are continuing. But documents have been released today by WikiLeaks, and they suggest that Australia and other negotiating nations are opposing a number of intellectual property proposals that are being put forward by the US. These negotiations are aimed at simplifying trade between 12 nations. Australia is one of those nations. They've been held confidentially, and the text of the agreement hasn't been made public. There have been calls from the Australian opposition for the full text to be tabled in Parliament. Those have been rebuffed for now. I'm joined now by Dr. Patricia Ranald, who is the convener of the Australian Fair Trade and Investment Network, who is in Singapore observing the talks. Patricia, thank you very much for your time. Is this level of secrecy around the talks unusual?
Well, most trade agreements negotiations are secret, but there are precedents for releasing the text. The World Trade Organization releases both draft text and discussion documents on its website, and I don't know if you recall the anti-counterfeiting agreement, which was agreed a couple of years ago, but they also released the text of that before it was signed. The key issue is that we believe that people have the right to see what is in the agreement before governments actually commit themselves to it, particularly if it affects things like the price of medicines or our pharmaceutical benefit scheme.
But is that the normal process? My understanding is that this argument's been had in Parliament. The opposition's saying that they want to see the text before it's signed.
Yes.
Is actually not the norm. So why would this one be
different? In Australia, normally it's a cabinet process. The cabinet signs it, and then it's only released after the cabinet has signed it. After that, it's released to Parliament, and there's a parliamentary committee that reviews it, but they can't change the text. So we're asking for that process to be changed, and so are the opposition parties.
Well, I suppose we've got some sense of what's going on in the negotiations now, thanks or no thanks to WikiLeaks on the story. Well, what are you seeing here? Is there anything here of concern, given that Australia is, it seems, taking a position that is resisting at least some of the US's overtures?
Yes, on some of the intellectual property extreme US demands, they are resisting along with other countries. Our main worry is on two issues. The first of these is on the actual right of governments to regulate prices through schemes like the pharmaceutical benefit scheme. This is a separate issue from intellectual property or patents, where Australia has been saying no to most of the US demands. But on the actual right of governments to be able to regulate prices through schemes like the PBS, there is a separate part of the agreement that deals with this, and Australia and others had been rejecting this up until very recently. But this document reveals that Australia is now jointly sponsoring what appears to be a compromise with both the US and Japan. Now, we don't know exactly what that is, but we are concerned, especially given that Minister Robb said last week that there would be no concessions on the workings of the pharmaceutical benefit scheme, which is the scheme that makes medicines affordable to people in Australia through government subsidies on the price of medicines. And we won't know what that document, that compromise is, until the text is released. So it's very important, this demand for the release of the text. The second key issue we're concerned about is that the right of a single foreign investor to sue governments for damages if a law or policy harms their investment. Now, Australia is currently being sued by the Philip Morris Tobacco Company over its plain packaging legislation. They're using an obscure Hong Kong-Australia investment agreement because they couldn't use the Australia-US free trade agreement because the Howard government didn't agree to have this provision in the US-Australia free trade agreement.
Well, we saw this provision in the South Korea agreement that was announced last week as well. There were some reservations cut out for this, but in the long run, even if Australia does get sued under these sorts of agreements, is it really that costly? Does it actually have an effect on the way that Australian policy operates?
Well, it will cost us hundreds of millions of dollars in the case of the Philip Morris case. They've said it could be billions. It has a freezing effect on governments if they know they're going to be sued for billions of dollars. But can I just make the point that in the leaked documents today, these so-called exceptions, which were referred to by the Trade Minister, are only in the preamble of the investment chapter. And that means that they're not legally binding. they're like a best intention, but they wouldn't actually be legally binding if a case was taken. So we're not convinced that those exceptions would be effective. And in fact, if you look at the history of litigation under investor-state disputes, even those agreements which have sought to have exceptions have not been effective. For instance, in the Central American Free Trade Agreement, there were supposed to be safeguards against to prevent environmental legislation being challenged, but there have still been cases taken against environmental legislation by the US against countries like El Salvador. The important thing about the leak is that it shows that those exceptions would not be legally binding.
Well, the fact that this has been leaked now, while there are still negotiations going on, do you think that will infect the negotiation process at all?
Well, it's hard to say. I think that the problem with the negotiations is a problem of democratic accountability. And while we don't know what's really being discussed, obviously, if leaks happen, people are going to speculate about what they really mean. I hope that the effect of all this public discussion is to make governments think twice about releasing the text so that they can actually reveal to their own populations what it is that they're negotiating.
So the imperative for leaking when you're in the course of negotiation is diminished?
Well, I wouldn't say that was the only benefit, but I would say that as a public interest organisation, we don't think that domestic law or the ability to challenge domestic law and decisions about, for instance, our pharmaceutical benefit scheme should be the subject of trade-offs in a trade negotiation that's held in secret. We should be making all those decisions openly through the parliamentary process and through public discussion. I mean, why should our health policy be decided at a trade negotiation that's held in secret?
It's a point I think a lot of people can understand. It would mean a change in the norm of how we do these sorts of things, but the argument is there to be had. Patricia, thank you very much for your time. That's Dr. Patricia Ranald, who's convener of the Australian Fair Trade and Investment Network, speaking to us from Singapore.